morning. We're going to call the meeting to order and welcome all the new employees in the audience. Welcome and thank you for coming to our meeting today. Call for a motion and second to grant a leave of absence to Commissioner Cerruta, who's out of town.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Now I'll call for a motion and second for approval of the minutes of the regular commission meeting of August 8th, 2018.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. And Curtis will ask for your executive director's report.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. I'd like to start also by welcoming the new employees. I got a chance to spend a half an hour or so with them earlier this week and just really excited about the new crop of port employees. It's a pretty big group in the sort of 30s, 35 new people, I think, and just a really rich group of people, diverse backgrounds. And we noted, you know, this time I usually say we have about two-thirds of our new employees come from the private sector, and it's probably even higher than that this time, but it's just a really fun, interesting group of people, so we're really excited to have them here. I'd also like to draw your attention to the safety champions up here, four different divisions within the port, and just a great group of people leading the charge on safety and safety performance, so really proud of that group. And Stan, if you would, I'd love to have a safety message from you this morning.
Bet. So my message today is that the Port of Portland is taking actions in observation of National Preparedness Month, and we invite all individuals and families as well to participate in that. So think about the disaster events reported in the news just this last year. We've had severe snowstorms, flash floods, extreme heat, active shooters, earthquakes, wildfires, toxic clouds, hurricanes, and volcanoes, just to mention a few. National Preparedness Month is recognized each September, provides an opportunity to remind us that we all must prepare ourselves and our families now and throughout the year. This year focuses on planning with the theme of disasters happen, prepare now, and learn how. So be informed, know what disasters and hazards could affect your area, how to get emergency alerts, and where you would go if you and your family need to evacuate. Plan ahead, make a plan today. Your family may not be together when a disaster strikes, so it is important to have a plan to execute in case of an event. And take action. National Day of Action is September 15th, this Saturday. So learn life-saving skills, conduct a drill, donate to a reputable organization, or visit www.ready.gov for more ideas on how to get involved. And to that end, the port has been building resiliency into our infrastructure, our operations, and in our disaster planning. And to connect with our most valuable resources, PDX Lifesavers has been conducting a series of well-attended Wednesday forums with the topics of preparedness since June, which will actually culminate today in the last session in the series. Topics have included emergency water and storage, disaster sanitation, preparing for home for earthquakes, and building an emergency car kit. In addition, our PDX Lifesavers is offering life-saving skills, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and automated external defibrillator education and training, which had occurred last Friday on the 7th and again will occur this Friday on the 14th, and it is open to all port and PDX employees. Other trainings such as first aid, active shooter, and fire extinguisher are also available. In closing, community leaders agree that the formula for ensuring a safer homeland consists of trained volunteers and informed individuals taking action to increase the support of emergency response agencies during disasters. I want to thank all the employees that have been involved in sharing these tools, education, and training with their fellow employees. And these engagements really do stimulate additional conversations. They serve to mature the port safety culture, and they bring safety home to families. And I guess just one last comment I would make is that my heart does go out to the people in the Carolinas and on the East Coast who are facing Hurricane Florence. You know, what they are facing over the next few days really brings home why today's safety message on being prepared is so important.
Great. Thank you, Stan. Appreciate it. For new employees, I think I mentioned to you earlier this week, the executive director report is really just a few minutes that I'm given to share with you news that you might not otherwise hear about what's going on in and around the port. And so I've got just a few minutes today. First, last month, by way of update, our marine team visited with shippers, freight forwarders, and other officials as part of our annual trip upriver to Lewiston, Idaho, to essentially help build relationships, engage with shippers, primarily in the agricultural community, and really keep an open dialogue around ways that we can help move goods downriver and out to Asian markets. Keith and his team have been really engaged in that part of the world, really focused on both rail and barge opportunities in the year to come. So a great opportunity to promote Portland as a shipping gateway. We are partnering with EPA, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group around Superfund and around communication on the current work planned around the Portland Harbor Superfund site. We're working this evening, in fact, doing a Portland Harbor public forum and open house to help the community engage and learn more about what's going to happen in and around the harbor. That's this evening at 6 p.m., runs till 8:30 at EcoTrust. Next week is a very exciting week because I get to put on a t-shirt and hand out donuts for the second year in a row. We are celebrating once again 6 years of the Travel and Leisure Magazine Award for Best Airport in America. And last year was the first time we really tried to turn a focus on the folks who make it happen, the folks who every day make the airport great. And we'll do that again this year. We'll spend 6 days. All the members of the leadership team will be out meeting with employees out in the airport, from baggage handlers to baristas, airline employees. It's just a really great opportunity to say thank you to the folks who make the airport great. So we'll be doing that all next week. Later this month, on September 28th at Hillsboro Airport, we'll host the Oregon International Air Show featuring the Canadian Forces Snowbirds. I took my kids there last year. It's a great event, a lot of fun. It's one of the largest charitable events in Oregon. 65,000 attendees are expected this year. It's just a lot of fun and a great use of the Hillsboro Airport, and really an indication of how closely it's tied to the community. And then finally, on the sad news front, or the good news front, I don't know, good news for Cindy. Cindy Nickel, our CFO, has been selected as the director of airports for the 4 airports in Sacramento County, at the Sacramento County Airport System. Her last day with us is Thursday, September 27th. Cindy joined us in 2012 and helped navigate some of the biggest, most complicated issues the port has ever faced, including funding PDX Next, essentially a $2 billion program over 6 or 7 years, and really helped create a path to stabilize the general fund. I know we're really all going to miss her positive attitude and her thoughtful approach and her deep expertise on airports. And I can't speak to life in Sacramento, Cindy, but if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. For now, I've asked Dan Blaufuss to serve as our interim chief financial officer in addition to his general counsel responsibilities. Really appreciate Dan stepping up to lead the team, and we'll start immediately an both internal and external search. Really want to seek the best candidate that we can find for an opportunity that comes about relatively infrequently on the executive team. So, Cindy, thank you for your service. Do you want a moment of executive director time?
Thank you. I would just like to say I have really enjoyed my 6.5 years here. The port's a very different place in a lot of ways from when I started, and I know it'll continue to evolve and get better and better. At Sacramento, we face a lot of similar issues there around continued air service development, developing a consolidated rental car facility and parking, trying to get the 2 GA airports to be financially sustainable. So there are a number of common themes. How the port operates is really phenomenal in how it interacts with its stakeholders and with its community and its employees, empowering employees and trying to delegate as much authority downward as possible. It's in that spirit that I hope to operate. So thank you all very much. It's been a pleasure.
Madam President, that's the end of my remarks.
Thank you, Curtis. And Cindy, I also wanted to say we will miss you. I know we've come to rely on your expertise at the commission and appreciate all of your hard work. I wanted to thank Dan, too, for stepping into that void. I can't imagine doing both jobs myself, and I'm glad that you're willing to do it. Thank you. On that note, I'll call for a motion and second to accept the executive director's report.
So moved.
Second.
Any opposed? Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't take the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Do we have anyone signed up for public comment today? Okay. Does any commissioner need a presentation on the consent items today? I'll read the titles of the consent items. The first is property purchase on Semiconductor Gresham Vista Business Park. The second is lease of property by Port of Portland Marine Maintenance Facility. Any discussion on those items? Hearing none, I'll call for motion and second for approval of the consent items.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We need a presentation of the first agenda item, which is me. It's adoption of the fiscal year 2018-19 executive director performance criteria. And those are part of your packets today. Curtis, do you have any?
Madam President, I did bring along essentially a summary in the slide deck form. I'm happy to walk through the items or whatever would be most useful for the commission. Hopefully you've had a chance to review them, and we've been essentially discussing them for a couple months now, maybe just in terms of framework and then however you'd like to proceed. The structure this year is a bit longer than in years past for the performance objectives. That's in part to bring on the feedback that you gave me about hearing more about the how and not just the what. I think there's some consensus that we're doing really well on the what, and the team at the port is really performing at a very high level. So what you see in this version is essentially the three elements of the strategic plan, which are loosely the what we do and what we're really focused on as an organization: building an airport for the future, renewing and revitalizing our marine business, and really focusing on creating a more prosperous and equitable region. The other five items are the how, really how we go about our business. And for us, that's about equity, it's about environmental performance, financial responsibility, safety, and operational excellence. Those are the items that our executive team essentially has been talking about with their leadership teams and with the rest of the port. And what you see there are the items that we think are the biggest drivers of that performance this year. Now, I have mentioned to several of you, I find it a little challenging to take credit for all of these things, but in the end, acknowledge or accept or embrace responsibility for getting them done. So I think this is sort of a balance of, it's about what I'm responsible for. I obviously rely very heavily on the people who are actually doing this work. And then finally, another piece that's new is that I think there's a little bit of concern over the years that the performance objectives are kind of rubber stamp. This gets done, and every year it's 100% completed. What we added this year is stretch goals in each of those eight areas. Honestly, if we get 50% of those done, I will be very happy. At the same time, I think it's possible that we could do all of them. They're hard. For example, maintained the objective in the general fund to get back to level, to get ourselves in positive cash territory. That's something I committed to you a year ago, and I think we're on the path to do that. But that's a stretch. We're now down into the sort of the last mile hard work to figure out where that money comes from, and it's not going to be easy. If I were betting, I'm honestly not sure how I'd do on the over-under. It's going to be hard, but we're really leaning in. I think we can do it, but I'm reluctant to essentially put all the chips on the table and guarantee it. So that's what you see in the document in front of you. Again, happy to walk through the items if you'd like and discuss any of them in more detail.
I'll leave it for questions from the commission. I think to echo what Curtis said, the goal was to look at what was important in the airport's future and to build what we needed the executive director to lead his team to do and accomplish over the next year. So if folks have any questions or comments on where we are with the criteria, this is happy to hear them before we move towards a motion.
Yeah, Curtis, thank you. And again, for the detail and the thought on this. And I do believe that positioning stretch goals is a way of sort of continuing to look for achievement even beyond the metrics you've identified. Under the equity guiding principle stretch goals, you list that as operationalizing equity in the daily work of the port. Any idea on what a metric might look like? Because everything else has got a somewhat of a metric or a deliverable, and I understand that's aspirational, but how would you know that if you saw it?
Glenn, would you forward to that slide? It's equity. It's probably number 5 or 6 on there. It's a really good question, and I don't have a clear answer for you. We talked about it in the leadership team. What would that feel like? And I think that's kind of what we're after. We know the work that we've undertaken over the last year or so, including the policy passed by the commission in January, and now each of the divisions has completed, at least in draft form, their own plan. What we are looking to do is essentially push that into the organization, obviously. And in some, it's going to be easier than others. Right now, we're working through the elements of each of those sort of divisional plans to make sure they're consistent and they're taking not the same approach, but relatively similar levels of approach so that they're achievable. And I suppose the metric on operationalize is really you're not spending every day trying to get it to happen, that it feels like it's in the operation itself. And so I just don't know what that metric is. It's a great push. For me, that one's more of a feels like we've gotten there or not gotten there. And the way I've been describing it internally is we all bring, I brought my new coffee cup from a friend of mine. We all bring coffee cups around this building, and there are no paper cups in the building. And the reason for that is about 10 years ago, the organization set out on a path towards sustainability, and it is now just done. No one thinks about where they're going to get a paper coffee cup, because it doesn't happen. It's more it's in the culture. And I don't know how we get equity to that place where you're not thinking about it every day. It just is. But that's essentially what we're saying. We want to push into a place where it's more how we do business than it is a project. And you're right. I welcome any input on a specific metric. I don't know what it looks like. I'm hoping we get what it feels like.
May I add to that?
Yeah, please, Bobby.
So as Curtis pointed out, the organization has just gone through the process of completing its divisional plan, equity plan. So there's 19 of those. And over the course of the next 6 weeks, we will be consolidating those plans. And all of those plans have specific KPIs attached to them. So we will consolidate those plans and identify where there are some common themes and which KPIs we want to measure our progress to. And we will be presenting that back to the commission early in the year so that you have some specific metrics associated with that. I think clearly what Curtis is talking about is, getting us to a point where we don't have to look at metrics anymore. It just sort of is. But we'll have a better idea of what those specific metrics will be, sometime in the next couple of months, and we'll share that with you early in the year.
Any further comment on? Okay, I'll ask for a motion and second for approval of the performance criteria.
So moved.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Vince, if you could introduce the next agenda item, please.
Good morning. We're here to request approval for a construction contract for a water pipe upgrade. This is some assets that we've had here at the airport for many years. When they were done 25 years ago, they were done with a mechanical closure, and it's having some failure issues. And so we're going to go about fixing them, and I'll let Alan go through the details.
Thank you, Vince. Good morning, everybody. This agenda item request your approval for a public improvement contract to be awarded to Harder Mechanical for roughly $3.5 million. Oh, speak up.
Turn the mic on.
Not on there, Glenn. Do I need to tap it?
In the center.
Oh, you thank you. Thank you very much. So to repeat, the public improvement contract to Harder Mechanical for roughly $3.5 million to perform this work. The project area is the North Terminal, Concourse E, and the newer part of Concourse D, what was at that time phase two of the Terminal Expansion North project. When we came to you a little over a year ago, July of last year, to award the design contract, at the time, the scope of the project included replacement of all of the pipe and welding the joints together. What we found through the design process by testing the pipe was that we could retain the pipe, cut off the ends, put in a small piece, and weld it up. So we decided to do that. It's a tremendous cost savings, but I think more importantly, it's a tremendous savings of material, reduction in carbon emissions. So the scope of the project has changed a little bit through the design process, but we have a much more sustainable project to implement now. In addition to replacing the joints, we will be replacing some temperature control valves and then re-insulating the pipe when we're done. Our project schedule anticipates performing all of the work next summer, so we have a nice stretch. If we get contract approval today, we'll have plenty of time to prepare. As you can imagine, a project like this is intrusive. We're going to be working in ceilings above hold rooms. We're going to be working in tenant spaces. And so a critical factor for the project is the planning and the communication and the coordination with all of our tenants. And we have the time to do that with this schedule. In terms of finance, we have a $3.5 million construction budget, $560,000 for the design fee, $1.6 million for port staff, a contingency allowance of $570,000, a total project budget of $6.25 million. This will be funded by the Airline Cost Center. We were very pleased to be able to achieve 11.2% small business participation with this project. So we're very, very pleased with that, as I mentioned, and I think it'll be a good contribution to our overall efforts. So in summary, staff recommends that we approve the, or that you approve the executive director's recommendation.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on this item? Okay. So I'll call for a motion and second for approval of the executive director's recommendation.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Vince, you have our second item.
Yeah, so the next one, this is out at Hillsborough. We're going to be doing a lot of work in Hillsborough over the next few years. This first one is for an environmental assessment for a runway safety area improvement. There is a waterway in a wild that's become a wildlife attractant at the end of the runway in what's called a runway safety area, which is an area we're required to keep clear by the FAA for safety procedures. We need to make some improvements to this area. In order to do that, first you have to do an environmental assessment. And then we'll be doing some other grading and improvements out at that end of the runway. So this first contract here is for this environmental assessment for these improvements. And we'll let Isabella go through the details.
Thank you, Vince. Good morning. I'm here to request approval for a personal services contract for WSP for the environmental assessment for the 13R31L runway safety area improvement project at Hillsborough Airport for approximately $1.4 million. Here's the project work area at Hillsborough. As you can see, the runway safety area is, as Vince mentioned, is bisected by a waterway, and there are also adjacent wetlands which create a wildlife attractant hazard. Now, in order to address the wildlife attractant hazard, we have to develop an environmental assessment. That falls under the National Environmental Policy Act and will allow us to not only identify but also analyze the different alternatives that we have before us to address the wildlife attractant hazard. As part of that also, we'll be selecting a preferred alternative which will be consistent with the port's operational goals for Hillsborough Airport. Another component of the scope is bringing runway 13R topography to current FAA design standards. As I mentioned, there are two key scope elements. One is the environmental assessment, and the other is correcting the topography for the 13R runway. Here's an overview of the schedule. The commission action today will allow us to begin the environmental assessment. We anticipate that being about a two-year-long process, at which point we'll come back and ask for a commission approval of the design contract, and then back again in 2022 to request approval for the construction contract. Here's an overview of the budget. The contingency is approximately 10% of the overall project cost, which is deemed appropriate given the complexity and risk associated with this project. The Port Cost Center is a funding mechanism for this project, and 90% of the personal services contract will actually be funded by an airport improvement grant, which is a wonderful thing for this project. The disadvantaged business DBE goal is set at 8.5%, which will be met by WSP. Staff requests approval of the executive director's recommendation.
Thank you. I have a question that doesn't really relate to the contract, which is what do we do to mitigate the risk during the time that we're performing the study?
Okay. I'll address that a little bit, and then I'll turn it over to Marla if you have any thoughts to share on that. So the risk elements, as I see them at this point, and you know, given that we're just getting started on this project, it's pretty early on. There's a real, we need to make sure we identify the proper wetlands, the proper stakeholders, make sure all their thoughts are taken into consideration. We know that the neighborhoods have some real concerns about what will happen to the drainage. So it's really a matter of partnering with those different, the agencies, the neighbors, and understanding what their needs are and how we can collectively come together to properly screen the different alternatives and come up with the preferred alternative that will meet everybody's needs.
Okay, thank you.
And I just want to make sure I'm understanding the question. Are you talking about the operational risk while the project is underway as well?
Right, both things, yes.
Okay, right. So operationally, when the project is underway, we do all kinds of safety things in terms of notifications. We only allow people in certain areas at certain times of the day. If it needed to, right, we can close portions of the runway. We can shorten it if we have to do that. So we have a full operational plan while any of the work is going on in that area. We'll also combine it with other work because we'll be doing runway reconstruction as well. So we'll try and get some of the work done ahead of time. So we do a full operational assessment in conjunction with the FAA to make sure that all of the safety elements of the program are adhered to and the customers and the tenants all know about it.
Okay. And then to the extent that wildlife are attracted to the area while we're doing the construction, there's also an operational plan around moving them away from the area.
Yes, so we have operational staff out there as well as our maintenance staff that are always on the lookout for the wildlife, similar to what happens here certainly at PDX, not to the same extent since we have a whole lot more attractants here at PDX. But yes, we have operations folks that are out there all the time managing the wildlife.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just in the interest of transparency, I want to again disclose that Nike Flight Operations, which I oversee, is a potential stakeholder in this work, and I just wanted to share that with you. I do not see it as a conflict, and I intend to support the motion when it arises, but just wanted to be transparent on that relationship.
Thank you.
And likewise, I want to remind everyone that I do work for Intel. I do not have this particular group, is not under my jurisdiction at Intel, so I don't see any conflict of interest.
Thank you. Any further comments or discussions on the item? Okay, I'll ask for a motion and second for approval.
So moved.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. I'll call on Keith Levitt to introduce the final agenda item.
Good morning. So this agenda item would authorize the sale of lot 11 and 12
and associated easements out at Troutdale Reynolds Industrial Park to BPA. We have been working on this project for
9 years.
9 years. It's been a long in the coming here. It's a great day. With us today from BPA is Mark Korsness. Thanks, Mark. Mark has been their project manager all the way through. And what I would say about this is it's critical to us from a financial standpoint. And while this project is primarily for utility infrastructure, getting this deal done is critical to our pro forma out at Troutdale. So with that, I'm going to have Ken describe the item.
All right. Thanks, Keith. This agenda item requests approval to sell lots 11, 12, and transmission easements to Bonneville Power Administration, which is commonly known as BPA. As Keith mentioned, we've been working with BPA for almost since we purchased TRIP. They have a heavy investment at TRIP historically, have a substation, a lot of transmission network of lines. And so they need this property for their growing, to meet the growing demand in the future of the region's energy needs. So this graphic you see on screen details the two lots, lot 11, which was improved through phase two improvements that we conducted about a year and a half, two years ago. And then lot 12, which is a lot that we didn't do any improvements during those, and is just a standalone lot that was created specifically originally for BPA, but has some issues as a standalone industrial lot. The items in yellow, they have to plug in a future substation if they build one into their existing substation. And so we had to find routing for that through our wetland mitigation site. And those items in yellow is the transmission line easement you'll see in the written agenda item. First, just a little bit about BPA. They are a department under the Department of Energy. They're self-funded by their activities. In a lot of ways, they're a lot like the port. Most of their funding comes from private sector activities. They market wholesale power from the 31 federal hydroelectric projects in the Northwest and a few non-federal generating facilities. Additional BPA helps support energy transmission from wind and solar installations across the Northwest. BPA, just a little factoid, they provide approximately about 28% of the power used in the Northwest. And a core to its mission is efficient, economical, and providing efficient, economical, and reliable power supply to the region. And they take that very seriously. So in terms of negotiations with Bonneville Power, it's a little different than, say, a negotiation with a private sector tenant. They have certain requirements that they have to meet, largely because they have the ability to condemn property as part of their mission, their federal mission. And that dictates a process that we had to follow with them. That process requires valuations based on appraisals and an offer process. The process tends to take longer than the typical private sector negotiations, but the closing is much quicker. We're actually planning, if you approve this, closing next week. So we do most of the work up front, and then we close quickly. Additionally, with BPA, with its unique infrastructure needs, requires complicated transmission easements that encumber property and restrict certain uses underneath them. This would be the easements across the wetlands. We had to make sure the easement language was right and allowed both uses in terms of what BPA needed and what port needs into the future. Just a little bit on the business terms. Lot 11, as I showed in the previous couple slides, is a traditional industrial lot. However, it has flag lot access, so it doesn't have frontage along Sundial Road, and it shares access with lot 10. It's a 22.27 acres. BPA's agreed to pay $6,305,527 based on $650 per square foot. This value, again, was determined by appraisal through BPA's process. Lot 12 is unique, and that It is highly encumbered with power line infrastructure. It has a serpentine road that's not ideal for industrial development. We did not extend sewer or water to the site or power to the site, and it has some wetlands. So that's why you'll see the valuation difference. It's a 40.09 acres for $1,750,000, and that's based on $1.89 per square foot. Then the easements, these were quite difficult to value because they're very unique because they cross a wetland site and the unique use is at trip. The appraiser determined a certain valuation. We negotiated that upward to $348,480, and that's based on about $1 per square foot. So the grand total is $8,407, and those are kind of odd numbers, but that's what the appraisal came up with. The rest of the business terms are as stated in the written agenda item. Staff requests approval of the executive director's recommendation.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments on this item?
So was there a competing appraisal other than BPA's?
The way we determined valuation, there was some market interest in these sites, and what we worked with BPA is making sure their appraisal looked at that market interest.
And when were they performed?
The appraisals were performed earlier, about 9 months ago.
Okay.
So
not but, 9 years ago.
No.
Do an assessment on a long-term lease versus a sale of the property?
We did not, because BPA indicated they wanted this to be in fee simple ownership, and again they had condemnation authority, so they
gave them a little leverage.
They gave them a little leverage.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? I'll call for a motion and second.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Before we adjourn, I'll grant the executive director a few more minutes for some comments.
I just didn't want to miss the opportunity to have Keith. I'm putting you on the spot here, but our executive team each is encouraged to work with their teams on a regular basis to get offsite and think about strategic priorities, how they're working together, what's going on at the port. Keith's team did that, one of theirs, last Friday, and he's got a tradition with his team to go out and do some community service before each of their offsites. And I just wonder if you take a minute to talk about the organization you did it with. I had the good fortune of spending a couple hours with the team. Ken and I stacked cans. But if you just talk about it, I was just thoroughly impressed, and it was a really neat partnership and creates some nice opportunities for us. So on the spot.
Yeah, on the spot. So we do have a really nice, about every 6-7 months, we go off-site. We have a small enough department. We can do that pretty easily with our group. We like to go out into the communities where we're investing, where the port is investing. So Gresham, Troutdale area have been naturals for that. And we like to spend kind of the day in equal parts community service, do some strategic discussing and work together, and then do some team building type activities. This time, I think we kind of hit it out of the park with Birch Community Center in Gresham. They are very focused on families that are in distress, falling behind, and it's like a mini Costco. Would you describe it?
Absolutely. It'd be like a Costco that families go in and shop and fulfill their needs for groceries and some clothing items. Really cool concept. And then they offer financial training of the money they're saving to make them financially sufficient when they graduate the program.
Yeah, so the idea is that the savings the families get from the essentially the food bank then is taken into offsetting the debt or other issues in their financials. So it's a really great concept. And I think they'll see more of us certainly over the years. I think it's a great partnership that we could strike organizationally. Kudos, great. By the way, to Teresa Carr and her team, Ken, Molly Hartman on my staff for finding them, putting the whole thing together.
Yeah, it was really great. I was just really proud of the port team out there. It was 25 or so people. Just a really interesting element that there's a sustainable finance element to it where the families who use the resources in the food and clothing bank have to commit to some training around financial responsibility and planning and an element of volunteering as well. They have to come in and help service the floor of the operation. It's about 5,000 square feet and they serve 500 families in East County. It's just a remarkable organization I had never heard of, but they do remarkable work. So thanks to you and your team for doing that. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you guys for engaging with our community. I know it's important to maintain our relationships with all of the stakeholders and the people who are affected by the port and its operations. So thank you for that. And with that, I'll adjourn the meeting. Thanks.